How's everyone doing tonight? Good. Are you excited to be in church? Amen. Well, Tim has been doing a lot of work toward getting us back into our Erie building, and so he's been on the phone a lot, and he's had a lot of business to deal with, and so he's been using his voice a lot, and so he's taking a rest tonight, letting his voice kind of recover and get some rest. And so today I was asking the Lord what he'd have me to minister tonight, not only to you, but to me as well. Because, you know, when I come into the service and before the service, I trust God for words from heaven, something to minister to all of us. And so even though I'm the one up here that's speaking, it's for me too. You know, these are not just my words. It's what the Holy Ghost wants us to say. And so it will minister to me as well. And I believe for that. You know, the Bible calls that threshing in hope, that as you minister, that you receive and you're fed out of the very words of your own mouth, because they're from the Holy Ghost. Amen? Because apart from him, I have nothing to say. I'm not much good to you apart from the Holy Ghost. And so you should be thankful that I sought him today on your behalf too. Amen? I just want to share this with you, and it was impressed upon me today while I was preparing. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 5. And while this is not my message, it's an encouragement toward us and to us that we come to church right. You know, and I'll give you an example of something in a way in which I came to church one time that wasn't right. And you can judge your own heart in this area. Hebrews chapter 5 in verse 11. And it says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that you are dull of hearing." And so I'm not accusing you of this. I'm not saying you're doing that or you've done it. But what I'm saying is that it matters to the Lord how we come to church. And there was a time a while back, and I was going to a church service, not in this building and not in this church, but somewhere else. And I went to that service with a bad attitude. And I was being tried in my life during that time. And honestly, on the inside, I did this. You know, outwardly, I was saying hi to everybody. And isn't it lovely to be here in the presence of God and just so excited to get all he has? And on the inside, you know, when you were a kid, I don't know if this used to ever happen to you, but for us, as part of, you know, discipline or punishment, did you ever have to stand in the corner? You know, and you know that old saying where you might be standing up on the outside, but you're sitting down on the inside? That was me at that service. And I know that the minister knew that, because there were several times in the service where that minister tried to minister to me and hit a brick wall. And I knew there was something that, you know, they were trying to understand what was happening, because they were trying to minister or impart something to me, and I just wasn't having it. On the inside, I wasn't going to receive anything, because I didn't want to be told anything else to do. I didn't want to be told anything else to change. And not because it was hard-hearted, you know, in a general sense overall, but I was going through a hard time at that time, and you ain't telling me anything else. Okay? And so you can come to church like that, you know, and you can come to church just, you know, tired and having gone through some things during that day, maybe some challenges in your marriage, you're not feeling 100%, you know, the kids were fighting all afternoon, and, you know, just different things that happen in life. And you can come to church because you know you should be here, but you're not right on the inside. And this scripture says that it matters how we come, because then there, if we don't come right, there are certain things the Lord would like to say, he would like to have done, and he can't. And so we think, well, the Lord will just do what he wants. He'll just have his way. But that's not true. Because in this scripture it said, it was hard to be uttered because you didn't hear right. And there are certain things, and this used to happen in Brother Hagin's services, I was told. I wasn't in those services, where he would want to say something, and he would ask the Lord, and he wasn't permitted to say it. And so we have to come ready to receive whatever it is. right? And then when we come, there are things that will be pulled out from the spirit realm. There are things that will be ministered that maybe otherwise would not have, except that we're here excited to hear. We're ready to hear. We're ready to receive. Whatever God says, whatever he wants us to do, wherever he wants to move within the service, we're ready for that. And so I just encourage you in every service that if you need to in your car right before you come in, make an adjustment on the inside that for your sake and the sake of everyone here, because listen, when it wasn't told, it was hard to be uttered. When it wasn't told, not just one person didn't get to hear what the Lord had to say. Everybody there didn't get to hear what the Lord had to say. And so care enough about the person next to you to come to church right, because they might really need to have heard that at that time. So don't do what I did and cross your arms on the inside. Nobody's telling you anything. That we come, Lord, whatever you want, we're open to that. Amen. So why don't you open in your Bible with me? I'm going to share some things with you tonight about the importance of your words. Amen. And we cannot underestimate the importance of our words. Go with me to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. And I'm going to share some things with you out of this scripture. And tonight, the things that I share with you are easy. They're not hard to do. And matter of fact, it's really only one thing. Do you have a pencil or a pen or something? And I can. And I heard Pastor Michael say it like this one time. He said, you know, if the Lord told you that, you know, if you were going through a difficulty or a trial or a test and all you had to do was this and this got you your answer, wouldn't you do that? You know, you're in the midst of a difficulty. All you got to do is tap this pencil on this pulpit, on your desk, you do it. It'd be a no-brainer because it's simple, right? It didn't take much time. And you saying the word over your life is that simple. And so, you know, it's not a head-scratcher. Whatever the difficulty is, whatever the trial is, whatever you need to overcome, whatever you need to fill up on, it's the word spoken out of your mouth that does that. And it's as simple as tapping that pencil on this pulpit. It is not hard. But you still have to do it. Amen. Mark 11:23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed, and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And so this is just settled. It's settled in the world. It's, excuse me, in the word. And it works for you to the good or for the negative. And so you are always going to have what you say. Whether what you say is a promise of God out of the word, or what you say is how you feel. If what you say is doom and gloom, it's still coming to your life because you said it, and you will have what you say. You know, there are some people in my family and some people that I know who they've gone to fortune tellers. You know, when I was in college, I wasn't saved yet, and my roommate went to church in Lilydale. And when I was younger, I had my tarot card read. And, you know, people do that because they're hungry for the supernatural. So they just need to be directed in the right direction, and they'll get more supernatural than they ever wanted, right? And so, you know, those people go to fortune tellers, have their tarot card read, you know, the palm readers and all that kind of stuff. And listen, you know how they say afterwards, you know, a year or two later or whatever, well, most of what they told me came to pass. But do you know why that happens? That it was enlightened to me. And it was very simple. Because the people, when they go and they hear what that fortune teller said, what do they do after? They repeat it. They're continually saying what. People in my family who went to fortune tellers for years, I can remember still with great detail and clarity things that that fortune teller told them, and some of it came to pass because they always talked about it. So was it that they were right? No. It's that those people prophesied their own future. And that's what you do. You don't need to come to service and stand in a line and have a prophet of God lay his hands on you and tell you your future. Everything you say about your life is you prophesying your own future. And that prophet's words over your life don't even mean as much as your own words over your own life, because you have a more authority over your life than they do. And all of your words carry power. All of them, good or bad. You know, I was just talking to someone the other day, and they were talking about how, you know, their car has so many miles on it. And, you know, when a car gets to this many miles, you know what happens? It starts breaking down. And when it breaks down, it's not just a little thing that breaks down. We're talking like $1,000 to $1,500 breakdown. And we better start putting some money aside, because I know that's coming. Well, then it's coming. It's guaranteed. I can guarantee you it's going to happen, because just keep talking about it. Just keep talking about it. So whatever you say, you will have. If all you talk about is the goodness of God, the supply of God, the peace of God, how your marriage is prospering, how you have a good job, how you have favor with God and man, that your children serve him, and all you're talking about is the word, then guess what? That's what you're going to have in your life. A man reaps only what he sows. If you sow the wrong words, you're going to reap the wrong thing. If you want a different harvest, you have to say something different, because in the end, you will have whatsoever you say. So if you say, you know what, I never have peace in my marriage, it's never where I want it, well, keep saying that, because you're just going to keep having that. Then you're always going to have that unsettled feeling that something about this just isn't right, it's not going the right way, we're not where we should be. Why don't you get your words working for you and say what God said about your marriage? Amen. So listen, whatever you say will come to pass. So we must be guarded about what we say about our life. Amen. E.W. Kenyon said this. He said, holding fast to one's confession when the senses contradict show that you have become established in the word. Because as soon as you commit to saying the word over your life, as soon as you commit to confessing the word for your marriage and for your children and for your mental health and every area of life, there's going to come pressure to tell you that it doesn't work, right? And so right away, you may not see those changes, but you're going to have to trust God that it's happening anyway. It's coming anyways. You know, we have a boat. Tim bought a boat last summer. And we went out on the boat, and in the reservoir, it's quite deep, so you have to get real close to the edge before you can throw the anchor in and actually stay in place, because even just a little ways off the edge, it can be like 50 feet, you know, deep. And it's not like Chautauqua Lake. I mean, Chautauqua Lake is not very deep, even in the middle. And so you have to have a really long anchor chain in order to be able to, you know, stop to swim a lot of places. And so the first time I was out there, I think the boys had gone out with Tim before I was actually on the boat with him. And the first time I was out there, I didn't see him throw the chain in with the anchor, but I saw him pulling it up. And he just kept pulling and pulling and pulling and pulling. And eventually there's something on the end of that chain. And that's how your words are. That, listen, you don't see it at first. Okay, because you planted seed, you planted seed, you planted seed, but that thing is in there, even though you can't see it. And you keep planting the seed, keep planting the seed, keep planting the seed, eventually it comes to the surface. And you see the harvest of what you planted. Amen. I want to share some other things with you. Why don't you go over here with me to Joshua chapter 6. Well, excuse me, how about we start in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Now I'm going to show to you that your words have power. Your words have power. Don't just believe me. You have to see it in the word. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. And listen, God is always after your attention. But the enemy's always after your attention. And listen, what you pay attention to, you talk about. Right? If you want to watch the news, most likely, you're going to tell somebody else that day what you saw on the news. And so what you have your attention on has an ability to get into your heart, and then it comes out of your mouth. And so all day long, the enemy is trying to put things in front of you. He's telling you things. He's pointing to things. He's referring to things. He's talking about your past, about things that failed before, about how other people didn't recover from this, how other people's marriages went through the same trial and they didn't make it. And he's always pointing to what isn't working and how it's not going to turn out for you. And the only thing that turns that around and the only thing that shuts that up is the word out of your mouth. And so you are going to have to be good at taking the word and talking back to the devil. It's the only time you're allowed to talk back, right? It's the only time you're allowed to talk back. When he says something, you answer him. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, and you shall observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. And so we are not waiting for the Lord to come down and take that sick feeling out of our belly that something's going to happen to our job. We are not waiting for the Lord to come down and remove from us that uncertain feeling about our marriage and how it just might not make it. We're not waiting for God to do anything about anything. Matter of fact, he's waiting on us to do something about our situation. And there are things in different families and in, you know, different people's bodies and within their marriage. There's something in all of our lives that we want changed. And so have in your heart that thing at the forefront. What is that thing that just seems to bug you, if I could say it like that? That thing that tries to talk to you all the time. Is it, you know, is it chronic pain in your body? Is it a difficulty in your marriage? Is it something regarding finances? Is it something regarding a home? Is it something regarding your job, your parents, your loved ones who are not saved? Whatever it is, that thing that is at the forefront, that thing that is biggest in your heart, I want you to take the word and apply it. Every single day, all the time. Now, I want to share this thing with you. I asked Heather to put this up here. Thank you. And I want to show you a couple things. You know, sometimes when we're believing for something, it requires a smaller measure of faith. And so I'm going to use this cup to represent something that I might need to believe for that would require a smaller measure of faith. So whatever I put in here, whether it's Cheerios or water or pop, or sometimes kids stuff their pizza in there, you know, with their drink, whatever could fit in here will not be nearly as much as what can fit in here, right? So let's say that I'm believing for a new house. Anna, just come up here for a second. Let's say I'm believing for a new house, and right now I'm in a $35,000 house. And, you know, I'm going to believe for a $50,000 house. Now, so that's going to take some faith, but it's only $15,000 more than where I'm at, so it's really not a big, big stretch. So this would represent me believing for another house that's beyond where I'm at now. It's going to take some faith. It's a little bit of a stretch. And so that would represent this. But let's say I'm in a $35,000 house and I want a $75,000 house. Now that's a jump, you know. And so maybe that requires for me a bigger measure of faith. And so I'm going to need to use my faith in a greater measure for that thing that requires more faith, right? And so, you can take the big one. If I were to, let's say, use a bottle of water, and every day I was to put a drop in this cup, now that would take quite some time to fill this cup up, wouldn't it? But if I put a drop into this every day, it's going to take a long time to fill that up. But what if I had this water bottle, and at the beginning of the day, I poured half of it in there. And then the next day, full, right? And so depending on how much I put in at each time determines how full, how quick that measure will be, right? And so some people are doing this. They're in a $35,000 house. They're believing for a $50,000 house. And they're saying it once a week. How quick is that going to get filled up? How quick is that coming to pass? And people are mad at God because they're not getting what they have on their heart, what they said God promised them, and this name it and claim it doesn't work. Oh, it's working because you're claiming something, but it ain't this, right? And so how much saying would I need to fill this up? Because listen, what you need to come to pass doesn't come to pass until your cup runneth over. So if you're just saying it once a week, you're going to get it in that measure, right? And if you're really believing for something bigger, you better get saying it even more, right? And so you can put a drop in there every day if you want. I'm not putting a drop in there every day. I'm be saying that. You can sit down. Thank you, Anna. I'm going to be saying that as much as I can, filling that up, developing my faith. And sometimes, you know, we've been in places where there was something that we really needed to believe for. Maybe it was regarding our family, you know, a turnaround in your body, a bill that came up that was way beyond your measure. And if you're using your faith to the best of your ability, you're doing the word, you're confessing the word, and you're giving it your all, at times God will add his measure of faith. And how many of you know that's not a drop at a time? And that'll cause it to come to pass as he adds his measure. So don't get discouraged if you think I'm just started on this. I just started using my faith. I just started confessing what God has for me in my life. It's okay. It's okay. Just be consistent. Amen. And I did this because it was impressed upon my heart while I was praying today and in my room, because I'm a visual person. People tend to remember what they see. And so when you get up in the morning and that thing that's at the forefront of your heart, think about this. You need to say it more than one drop a day to fill up your measure till your cup runs over and it comes to pass. Amen. And God is not there filling it up for you every day, right? You have to do it. You know, at my house, we can get in. Either you can put a key in the front door and turn the knob, or you can push the button and get in through the garage. But either way, you have to do something to access the house, right? And then once you're in the house, everything that's there is available to you, or to me. It's my house. And so, but using your faith, confessing the word is like that. It's the key that opens to you everything in here. So if you'll say the word, it'll all be available to you. Every bit of it. There is nothing in here you can't have. It's all available for you. He made it available for you. And so your words have power. Make sure that that thing you want to come to pass, you're not just saying it every once in a while. Do you know, I can tell if something's important to my kids because they talk about it nonstop, right? So we're getting ready to go on vacation in a little bit. And my kids are, they've got the brochures for the place. Thank you to Tom and Sue. They gave them the kids. They're studying that brochure. They want me to get online and see how long the park is open. They want me to see, you know, what the rides look like. Are there height requirements? They're counting down the days on a little vacation calendar until we go. They tell me like four times a day. And so my kids are constantly talking about it because it's important to them. And so seeing that it's important to them, you know, outside them, I could care less about going to that park. But because they're so excited about it, I'm excited about it. Now I want to go, and I'm looking at the dumb brochure, and I'm looking at the stuff online, and I'm looking at the height requirements. I still probably won't ride anything, but I'll be glad to get the snacks and carry the stuff. Because I don't like to puke. And so I have to tell you this story. It's really cute. We went to Niagara Falls, and Tim is a ride person, and if you don't like rides, he does not understand. He will not accept it. We could have Kristen testify, but we won't. We want Tim to look good. No, I'm just kidding. But if you're at a park with him, he just refuses to accept the fact that you do not enjoy it, because he does. And so we were at this water park, and you know, he had gone on this body slide, and he came back and he asked the kids, did they want to go on it? And they don't want to go on it. And so he said, I'll pay anybody $20 who rides this water slide. Now, if he's offering $20, you know it's scary, because normally he doesn't offer that much money for a ride. And so Michael's like, I'll do it for $20. And so we couldn't see the whole slide because we just saw the under part. We couldn't see the whole, you know, how the drop was. And so Timothy and I went up to the platform where you wait from where they land, and we finally saw what the whole slide was like. And I'm like, I'm such a bad mother. I cannot believe I let him go on this ride. What was I doing? And so it's pretty much like over the hump and straight down. And it's one of those ones where like you barely fit in it and you feel like you're coming out. And so anyways, he's coming down the slide and I see him, you know, I see him get released over the thing, and I'm standing next to Timothy and he's got both arms, both legs out, and he's going, ah! And I'm like, oh my goodness. And so he steps out of the slide and he goes, yes, yes. And so, you know, we're in Canada, so they have, I don't know if you've seen the new Canadian money, but it's, there's holograms on it, holograms, whatever, the pictures of the people and they turn color. But part of their money is like a plasticky kind of see-through part where it's not all paper. So it looks very fake. And so Tim gave Michael the $20 and he goes, I don't want your fake money. So he thinks Tim's paying him fake money to go down the water slide. We're like, it's okay, honey. We can turn that back in at customs, you know. And so why did I start talking about that? Yes, thank you, Anna. Okay, so I'm excited about going to this park we're gonna go to because my boys are excited about going to this park. And so now I'm talking about it because they're talking about it, and I'm planning for it because they're planning for it. And so, listen, you know, we have to show God, God, this matters to me. This is big in my heart. I'm not going without this. You know, just like my kids, you're taking me to this park. If there's one thing we do when we go on vacation, we're going to this park. And so we have to show God, this is big in me. I love this. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking over the brochure. I'm constantly talking about what's in here. I won't let it go until I get there. Amen. We got to show God that we care. And listen, every natural thing has a spiritual parallel. And God is such a better parent than me. So if I care just about those things my kids get excited about, and it's just a natural thing, how much more the promises of God, when he sees us take hold, refuse to stop talking about it, we're looking at his word in the morning, we're looking at his word at lunch, we're looking at his word before bed, we're telling him how he promised us peace, we're telling him how he promised us joy in our marriage, we're telling him how he promised us, you know, peace and joy and happiness and all of that. We just keep telling him. Not because he doesn't know, because we need that word spoken out of our mouth, because we have what we say and our words have power. Amen. So if you want your marriage different, you're going to have to say something different. If you want your home different, you're going to have to say something different. If you want your body different, you're going to have to say something different. And who really cares if it doesn't look like anything's happening for a while? It doesn't really matter. Go over here with me to Joshua and go now to chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 1. Joshua 6, 1. Because listen, these people in this verse, in this chapter, they didn't see something happen right away either. But they still did what God said. Verse 1 in chapter 6 of Joshua. Now, I'm just going to read bits and pieces of it. So I will read the first five verses, and then I'm going to skip over to some other verses. Now, Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel, and none went out and none came in. See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And so the Lord is saying unto him, see what I've done for you? And he's not asking them to see it with their natural eyes because they haven't taken Jericho yet. He's saying, see what I promised you. See it with your heart. See yourself with his word. See yourself with his instruction. The Lord right now is giving them. Thank you. The Lord right now is giving them an instruction. The Lord said, what did he say? He said, see. Not with your natural eyes, with your heart. See the instruction I'm telling you now. See the promise before you have it. And so that's what he's telling us to do. In verse 3, and you shall compass the city. So as soon as he instructs us and shows us what it is that he has for us, his word, his promise, his plan, the very next thing is what's in verse 3. Could you turn me down just a little? Ye shall encompass the city. So as soon as they had God's word, the next thing they had was an instruction. Then he told them something to do. And so we have already his instruction. We have already what we can build into our heart. And so we're going to have to now do what we know. That's the part, isn't it? We know so much. We know so much of the word. We've been here week in and week out. We've been here Sundays. We've been here Wednesdays. We've been here special meetings. Even if you've only been here a year, you know a lot. And the more you know, the more you're required to do. Amen. The things that I did when I first got saved, when I was saved 2 years and 4 years and 6 years, I can't do those things anymore to me. It is not permissible for me to do those same things. Matter of fact, there was one time, and I remember being back by Tim's office door, and I just sensed in the realm of the spirit my margin of error, you know, get smaller. You know what that means? Where, listen, you can't miss it like you did before in these areas. You know too much now, and you're going to have to do it. And so the further you go along in these things with God, the more he requires of you. It's a sad thing if we've been saved 5 years and we're still not a tither. When this church teaches tithing out of the word every week. And so do you know what that's called? I don't know if you know. Do you know how the Bible has talked about frustrating the grace of God? That's what that is. That there's grace for a season while you're learning his word for your actions to line up to what his word says. But when you've been coming and you've been hearing about tithing over and over and over and over again and you still don't do it, that's called frustrating his grace. And it's not pleasing to him. I don't want to frustrate that grace. I don't want to frustrate God. I want to be in his best. Amen. And so over time, you will be required to do what you know. Amen. And so I just sensed for myself at different times where I couldn't miss it in certain areas like I did before, that he was requiring more of me. Amen. And so you may have sensed that at times too, where I can't keep doing that same thing I've been doing. God's been dealing with me on that, and I'm just going to finally get myself over that. The Holy Ghost is going to help me, and I'm just going to get pushed on over. Amen. And so if you're frustrated in an area, Lord, I just want you to know I'm putting my faith on this. I'm putting my heart on this. I'm putting my effort on this. I'm going to get onto the other side of that. We don't want to frustrate his grace. Amen. When you get your giving letter in the mail, when you pick up your giving letter out back, because they are out back. Are they? Okay, they still are. So the giving letters are out back if you want to pick them up after service. But every year, we should be increasing in our giving, right? Every year, we should be increasing in peace. Every year, we should be increasing in our just our personal finances, not just tithing, but giving. Every year, our children should be more obedient. Every year, our marriage should look better than it did. When someone sees you 5 years from now, they should be like, wow, you're just so much better than you were before. Dr. Dufresne said one time we were riding around in the car, and he said, if you're not always prospering, something's wrong. Now listen, there are seasons where we go through opposition and resistance, and so, you know, there might be times where we really, and even years at times, where we really have to hold on to the promises of God and stay faithful to those things, and we'll see them, but we should continually be seeing progress and prosperity in a greater measure in our life, right? And if we aren't, something is wrong. What's happened is, you know, we've walked back. We've stepped back. We're backsliding. You know, I heard Reverend Patsy Caminiti say it this way one time. And she has a CD series. It's actually just a single CD out, and it's called Morning by Morning. And it's a wonderful CD if you have a chance to get it from her ministry, Patsy Caminiti. And she talks about how we have to stay up on God. that have you ever, you know, had somebody follow you to a restaurant or follow you to their home or something like that, or maybe you followed somebody. And the greater distance that you get between them, the harder it is to make out the car, you know? And so especially if you're traveling at night, all the taillights look pretty much the same. And so you get too much distance and you can end up at two different places. And that's how it is with God. When you stay up real close on him, easy to follow where he's at, where he took a left, where he took a right, where he went downhill, where he went uphill, if he turned into the restaurant parking lot, if he turned into the driveway where you were supposed to be going, easy to see because you're right there on him. But you, every day, let that distance go and go and go, and next thing you know, God's way over here and you're way over there. So you got to stay up on him. If you sense that you've gotten away from God, close that gap real quick. You know how you do that? You get in, you fellowship with him. Lord, I am sorry that I've walked away, that I've allowed my fellowship with you to wane, and I'm coming back right now. And all you got to do is start fellowshipping with him, and that closes that gap between where he's at and where you're at. Because you want to be as close to him as you possibly can. You want to be rubbing shoulders with God, so to speak. And where he goes, you go. Where he walks, you walk. You know, have you ever had, like, at a family reunion or something where you went and you played games? I always thought that was so dumb. I didn't want to play the games. I didn't want to sweat in gym in high school. I don't want to change my clothes. And, you know, if it had to do with that kind of stuff, it's not me. I'm not sporting in the least. As a matter of fact, Sarah and Matt, they were going skiing. They asked us to go, and I told Tim, I'd rather hunt than ski. Because at least hunting, I can sit there and read a book. You know, skiing, it requires some kind of athletic something. And I'm not really into that. And so, where was I? It'll come to me. Sit, what? Shoulder to shoulder. Games at a family reunion. Anna, it's 2 for 2. That three-legged race where they, you know, you each have your inside legs tied together and you got to run. Someone's getting jacked up during that. That is America's funniest home video material right there. But where you're sharing a leg and you got to each, you know, walk together, it should be like that, that we're so close, we're tied together. Where he goes, I go. Because when you're tied with that person, if they fall, you fall. And so have you ever been dragged? You know, because I was not the all-star. I was not the one making it to the finish line first. But I was almost always tied to the person who wanted to make it to the finish line first. If they got to pick you up and carry you, they don't care. Tim is going to make it to the finish line first. No way around it. And so that's how it is with God, that we're tied with him. And where he walks, we walk. Where he goes, we go. When he stops, we stop. And so we got to make sure we're right there with him. Amen. All right, back to Joshua chapter 6, verse 3. And you shall compass the city. Now he's giving them an instruction of what to do when they get to Jericho. And all the men of war will go round about the city once, and you shall do it 6 days. So he tells them, here's your instruction. When you get there, you go around the city one time each day for the first 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of rams and horns. And the 7th day, you shall compass the city 7 times. So then he says, on the 7th day, you go around 7 times. Pretty simple. And the priests will blow their trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when you make a long blast with the ram's horn, and you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight ahead before him. Okay, now go over here with me to verse 16. Now, so that was their instruction. This is them actually carrying it out. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And then verse 20, so the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the shout of the trumpet, they shouted with a great shout, the walls fell down flat, so the people went into the city, and every man straight before them, and they took the city. Amen? And so listen, there are times where God is going to tell you, you better shout. because it don't look like these walls are coming down. It don't feel like these walls are coming down. That thing looks like it's way above. It looks like it's prospering. It looks like it's coming to pass. And you're going to have to say what the word said. What did they do? Exactly what he told them do. And when they did, it came to pass for them. Amen. And so there are times where you're going to have to shout about how God healed you and you don't feel healed. You're going to have to shout about how there's peace in your marriage and it doesn't feel peaceful. You're going to have to shout about how he provided for you financially and it looks like your paycheck's getting smaller instead of getting bigger. You're going to have to shout over some things if you want the walls of those things to fall down. Amen. I was talking to Tim about this one time and he said, you know, it wasn't that those walls crumbled. It was that they rolled down into the earth like a window rolls down. The earth just swallowed it up like it wasn't even there. Amen. You want that? You got to do what they did. Hear what his instruction is, the word, and then do it. That's all. It's as simple as tapping that pencil on this pulpit. It's not hard, but you just have to do it. Okay, go with me to 1 John chapter 5. We know this scripture well. 1 John chapter 5. I want you to leave here encouraged tonight. You can do this. This is basic. This is basic. And listen, there are going to be times in life. Now, it's great for prayer team to pray for you. It's good for someone to agree with you. It's good for your pastor to pray for you. I pray for you every single day. Every single day. And I have a whole list of things, a page in the back of that page of things that I confess for you, and then I pray in the Holy Ghost for you. Because we're all moving in this together. Amen. But you can't depend on me. Because listen, I don't have the heart for something unless God gives it to me like you do. I don't have the heart to overcome the thing that you need to overcome unless God puts it in me when I'm praying. But just naturally speaking, outside of that, I can't feel that thing like you feel it. Not feel it in your senses, in your spirit. And so I'm not going to want for you the change that you want for you. So the best thing you can do is have your own faith working for you. Don't just leave it up to somebody. Mom's going to pray for me. She's been faithful all these years. She knows how to pray. I'll tell my mom, she'll pray for me. You can only depend on that for a short season. God's going to expect you to do it yourself. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we desired of him. And so in verse 14, it says, this is the confidence that we have. And, you know, sometimes when we're going through something, we're facing something, something that we would like changed, maybe a difficulty with your children, and the way that you feel confident in that, the way that you know it's going to come to pass, is that you talk to God about it. And you say what he said. Because listen, go back. Oh, you are in verse 14. It says, when we ask anything according to his will, first we know he heard us. Verse 15. And then we know because he heard us, we have it. And so then every time that thing tries to resurface, a new symptom, you know, a new difficulty in your body, a new something in your marriage that isn't right, every time that tries to surface, then you can have confidence knowing I'm using my faith. God heard me and he's on my side and this thing is not here to stay. It came to pass. Amen. And so I see people sometimes and they're facing things and they're not real confident about it. If you spend time talking to God and fellowshipping in his word regarding that thing, you'll be confident. You'll be confident. And you won't care if it took a day, a week, a month, or a year to come to pass. You'll be confident knowing that all I know is it is. It is coming to pass. That's all I know. And I can know that and have assurance of that, and I can have that strength in my heart because of 1 John 5, 14 and 15, because I talked to him about it. And so I know when I talked to him about it, he heard me. You know, when we grew up in the Catholic Church, I grew up in the Catholic Church, Tim grew up in the Baptist Church, but we were told to keep praying the same things over and over and over and over again. And they never said anything about you ever having it. You know, I was real close to my grandparents, my mom's parents, they were like parents, second parents to me when I was little. And so both of them died the same year when I was turning 13. And so because the Catholic Church tells you to always pray for people after they're dead that they'll get into heaven. And so my whole life after that, until I was born again and taught better, I continued to pray for them to get into heaven. And the thing is, there's no hope in that. You just keep praying and hopefully it happens, but you never get to know. You never get to know if it really happened. And so we serve a God who's just, who's faithful, whose promises are true, and you can know. You can know. You can be assured that when you speak his word and it comes out of your heart, that it's coming to pass in your life. You don't have to wonder for all those years like I did, is this really working? Is this really happening? You have confidence. I have great confidence that my faith is working. I have great confidence in my faith. And if you don't, you can even say that. I thank you, Lord, I have great confidence in my faith. Because some people feel like, well, I've said it, but it just isn't working. No, I have great confidence in my faith because he heard me, so he's working on it. Amen. Let me share this with you. It's very simple, but you need to know it. Some things you'll never be done saying. Some things you'll never be done saying because you're never done receiving, right? And so there are certain difficulties that come up in life, and, you know, we get the word on it, we apply the word to it, and maybe it's not something that you believe for all the time, but health in your body. You don't just need healing. You need continual health. And so, you know, maybe you're facing something major in your body, and maybe you're not. Maybe you feel perfectly well, and you are perfectly well. Well, good. Still have that word built in you regarding health and healing, because you're going to need that every day for the rest of your life, right? If you're married, you're going to need to know what the word says on marriage every day for the rest of your life. And so some things you'll never be done saying, but it's a joy because you don't just use your faith to get something, you use your faith to maintain it. You know, we've been in our house now at 7 years, it was in November, and so I believe for 2 years to get into that house, and all the time, every day, I thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for where I get to live. It is such a joy to be here. You put me here. I didn't put me here. You did. And I'm so thankful for where we are, that we have a yard. And I tell them the things that I appreciate about where I live. A two-car garage changed my life. You know, I was out in the pouring rain and the snow and the mud and all that stuff, loading kids in and out of the car. And so now to be able to just, and it's heated. I didn't even ask for that. It's like, I could go out there and sleep if I wanted to. And so, you know, I tell the Lord every day what I'm thankful for and specifically what about it that I'm thankful for. And so even though I'm not believing for that house anymore, my faith maintains that house. Not my paycheck, not my finances, not an inheritance, not some check from some mysterious stranger. My faith maintains that house. And that mortgage gets paid every month. Amen. And so you can do that too. Take stock of where you are with what you're saying in your faith walk. And I know right now for myself, I'm maxed out what I can believe for, what I am believing for regarding people and projects and the Erie Church and this building being paid off and my family members being born again and that sort of thing. I've got a whole in my notebook, I have a whole section in here that I put just on the things I'm believing for and all the scriptures after it. So I'm believing for my parents and Tim's parents to come into the house of the Lord and be established, that they bring forth fruit in old age. And I have a whole bunch of scriptures, you know, depending on what it is I'm believing for. Some things I might only have three. And so every day I go through that and I release my faith for that. And so right now for myself, I'm maxed out. I'm believing for the most that I possibly can in every area of life. This church, Erie Church, our home, my kids, my extended family, finances, health and healing. And I really can't add something else to it right now. I would have to step something else back. So know where you're at with your faith. Could you add something more to that? You know, if you haven't been believing for God regarding a strong body and health and healing, I encourage you need to meditate on health and healing in your love walk every day. that you'll never run out with those things. Pastor Michael, you know, it was funny because when we were younger, Tim has done lots of really interesting things, but he chased a pig around a neighborhood trying to catch it for a cop. And I don't know if he ever told that story here or not. Ask him to tell you. Come on. Who really tries to do that? But anyways, and so they would just about get it, and he'd slip right through their hands. And Pastor Michael would say that, you know, putting on love is like greasing up a pig. You know, you ain't holding on to that thing no matter what. And so if you'll walk in love, no, nothing will stick to you. You know, you'll stay free of the enemy. He'll try and get his hands all over you, and you just slip right through his hands. Amen. He won't be able to hold on to you because that's what the love walk does for you. Amen. And so know where you're at with what you're believing for. You know, could you step it up in believing for, you know, health and healing in your body? Could you step it up regarding what you're believing for your kids? Or maybe you know, there's something that you're believing for, a house or a car or a job or something like that. And so I know, you know, have you ever flown? And at times, you know, if you're not immediately getting in line to take off, they'll come over the thing and they'll say, well, we're fourth in line for takeoff. And so you know it's coming up ahead and it's sometime soon, but you're not quite there yet. And I know some things that I need to believe for, and I've got it like on the side of my prayer list because when my faith is freed up, I'll move that in. It's in line, but it's not quite time for it yet because I have to see some other things manifest and free up my faith before I can start to believe for those other things. And so where are you? Take stock. Do you even have something written down? I just use this, you know, plain notebook paper, and I do this too, and it would encourage you to do it. Mine has a little margin over here, and so when I start believing for something, I'll write out here what I'm believing for, the scripture that I'm believing for, and in the margin, I write down the date I started believing for it. Because you want to see hardcore proof that your faith is working, or the enemy will try and tell you your faith never works. But yet you could say, oh really? Well, I don't believe 2 months for this and that thing came to pass, and I only believed a year for this and this thing came to pass, and oh, must be my faith does work because all this stuff right here on this list, I'm onto a new page because I already believed for that and that came to pass. So I write down the date in which I started to believe for it, and then when it comes in, I write under it when it came to pass. And that will be a good encouragement for you and something for you to see as well. Because we don't need to see it, but it's an encouragement to see it. My faith works. I believe for this and for this and for this, and all of that came to pass. And listen, so when you get to the next thing and it seems too big, no, I have great confidence in my faith. I have all these other things I believe for and they came to pass. I can believe for this too and it will come to pass. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we worship and we honor you. We thank you, Lord. You are good to us. We thank you, Lord, that our words have power because they carry your word. Father, we thank you for the power that you've made available for us to use. We thank you, Father, your hand is always outstretched toward us. We thank you, you have good plans for us. We thank you for a hope and a future. Father, we thank you for your instruction tonight. So simple. But we'll do it, Father, and it'll change our life. Father, we thank you. We get to give tonight. We have received so much, Father. We've received so much, Father. We've received so much, Father, and we thank you. We get to give back to the house of God. We worship you, Father. We bless you, Lord. And I thank you now, Lord, as we give, that it's given back unto us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, men pour into our bosom. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers, you can wait on the people. Hallelujah. So we have some homework to do. You know, if you don't, you can go to Walmart, you can go to the dollar store, you can go to TJ Maxx and get a very inexpensive notebook, but start having a prayer journal. Something, you know, that shows what you're believing for, the scriptures that you're using to believe for it. You know, make it something easy that you can carry with you. You know, I like to have my material with me if I can. And so you can always look at that, always have it before you. And over a period of time, once you've done it enough, that'll be built in you and you won't need to carry that. Amen.